our final hockey podcast for the year. Tim Benz, along with Brian Metzer, the Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network. Metz has been kind enough to join us once a week throughout the course of the hockey season, but now the Stanley Cup has been awarded, and we go into the offseason where things should be active for the Penguins, one would hope. Before we get there, though, Metz, first of all, thanks for doing this all year, and how'd you think about how things wrapped up in Vegas?
Well, I think it ended up, first, you're welcome. Thank you for having me all season long. But I think it wrapped up the way we kind of thought it would. And then when you find out how injured Florida ended up getting, I know that the Knights or the Golden Knights had some injuries as well. But Tkachuk with a broken sternum, which I, you know what, I'm all for letting guys go out and give it their all and play. That could have threatened his life playing with a fractured sternum. I was kind of surprised that he ended up getting out there a little bit. But all of that said, with the injuries and everything, not shocked to see Vegas close it out. They really emerged as the better team throughout the series from the earliest moments, and they ended the legend that had become the Florida Panthers and Matthew Tkachuk, et cetera. So congrats to them, and I guess I wasn't shocked at all.
I had separated rib cartilage once from a softball injury. And I know how badly that hurt and how it lingered. I can't imagine what a fractured sternum feels like. It hurts to say.
Well, and it's protecting some pretty valuable organs. I mean, you know, your heart, your lungs, it's all right in there. And if something shatters the wrong way, it's all pierced with bone fragments. But hey, credit to him for going out and giving it a go. What a warrior. I mean, we say that about hockey players all the time across the board. I think more than any other sport, Tim, I know in football they do it to a certain extent, but hockey, it's kind of like, oh, 72 stitches to the head. I'm back for the third period. That may have been a new one though, but you always hear about these guys playing on broken feet, broken ankles. And it's just remarkable that, you know, you see a couple of pitchers missing starts with blisters, which I know it affects the throw and affects the grip, but boy, hockey, what warriors they are.
Metz, I'm sure at some point we'll talk during the offseason about the draft, about free agency, trades, what have you. But for a forecast, what are you expecting in terms of the shape of the team by the time you and I next speak, if it is at no point in the offseason, we don't talk again until September or something when the team comes back to camp? What are we going to be looking at with this Penguin team? How much will it change?
I mean, how much can it change when you have the big three? I mean, they're going to have some new faces for sure. But that said, I think we are going to see for the first time in a long time, Tim, probably a fairly different looking Pittsburgh Penguins, because I don't think Brian Dumoulin's going to be back. That's a big one. He's been here for, it seems like, years and years and years. I don't think Zucker's going to be back at this point, just because once he hits the open market, you and I talked about this, I just think the money's going to get too great and the temptation to move on will be too great.
Well, let me stop you there, because I do agree with you on Dumoulin. In fact, Madden and I were just talking about this. It's like, he brought it up to me. He's like, how come nobody mentions Brian Dumoulin and talking about free agent conversations? And my response is, it's just a foregone conclusion that he's gone. You know?
I feel that way. Yeah. I mean, and it's a shame. Now, that said, Tim, he might say, hey, I'll stay for a couple million bucks and be a bottom pair defenseman, and you could probably do worse than that than to have him in your bottom pair. But I think if he is here, regardless of the contract, you'd have too much temptation for Sullivan to put him back with Chris Letang. Yeah. It'll just be, hey, I know these guys, I trust them, blah, blah, blah. But so I just think he's going to probably still have more value on the open market than he would to the Penguins. He could stand to make more money out there, because some young team will say, hey, this is a proven winner. We can put him with our young group. I mean, Florida, for example, could say he could help our blue line. I mean, they could use a guy like that. So I think he's going to be gone. I think that there will be a number of new faces here. I think it's going to be probably shockingly different behind the big three or big four, because if you keep Rust and Gensel with Sid and Gino, you're going to have Chris Letang. So that'll probably be a core of a team that you're going to build. And then from there, it's kind of hard to really get a beat on exactly where Dubas is at. I'm surprised about, maybe I'm not surprised, but it's been so eerily quiet in terms of anything. The only rumor or speculation you hear is coming from outside of the market. And I don't even think it comes from anybody even hearing anything. I think it's just people speculating, plugging holes of what they think the Penguins need. You'll certainly see a new goaltender. I've kind of in my mind.
You're certain on that?
I feel like that's happening. I don't know. I just have a vibe that they're going to go. And if Jari comes back, he's going to have a pretty big competitor ahead of him, put it that way. I think they're going to make a swing for something bigger and better in net. And then if he wants to come back, it's going to be as maybe a 1B option. And then Casey DeSmith, sorry, you know, thanks for your services. You probably have to move on, or he has to clear waivers and go to the minors. Now, that said, he's under contract. But I think this team will look more different than it has in many, many years when we get back together for regular or for training camp come September 20th or so.
I want to go back to the Zucker point, because when we've talked about money with Zucker, I've seen twice now from two different prospecting outlets, two of these different analytic-based cap forecasting websites that exist out there in the hockey blogosphere. Mm-hmm. Two of them have had Zucker at $5.1 million, which is pretty much what he's making exactly right now. One of those sites, and I can't remember which one it was, but one of them had 5.1 for him to go elsewhere, 4.8 for him to stay in Pittsburgh, which to me, you know, I guess makes sense to have about a $500,000 discount, roughly, I guess $300,000 by their math, but somewhere in that neck of the woods to have that much of a discount at that price to stay versus go. I get that. However, I just wonder if 4.8 is still going to be too much for the Penguins. If it is that, is that too much to keep Zucker?
I feel like if they buy out Granlund, Tim, which is still an if for me, I don't know that that's going to happen. If you do that, I think they would be comfortable giving him even a comparable contract to what he has. I think they would, because then you're almost taking that money and giving it to him, because you're going to have 4.8 or something if you buy out Granlund. So that would be a big chunk of what you need to pay Zucker, and it would still leave you with close to the full $20 million or so that you have, that you thought you were going to have going into the offseason. My only fear with him, Tim, no matter how you look at it, is his best season ever came in 17-18, where he scored 33 goals and 64 points. And that is right ahead of him going into his huge contract of 18-19, right, when he signed for the 5.5. So since then, I know he's been injured and he's had ups and downs. He's only scored 20 goals twice over that span. He's only broken 40 points twice over that span. And conveniently, the highest total for goals and points was this past year going into this contract. And sometimes guys just do that when they know they have that on the table in front of them. Now, with that being said, they do like all his intangibles. They like his work away from the puck. They like his work in the locker room. They like his work in and around their team. Penguins are a very community conscious hockey team as well. So I think you could do worse than having a guy like Jason Zucker around. And if they can get him for anywhere between what you said, the 4.8, I think even as high as $6 million with it being a $500,000 raise, I think they would consider doing that, because in their view, if you buy out Granlund and you give him that raise, it's only costing them $1.5 to $2 million of the 20 that they had earmarked to spend going into this offseason anyway.
The Daily Faceoff listed six teams that could be in the hunt for restricted free agent Alex DeBrincat, 25 years old, 73 goals over the two seasons spanning 2021 and 2022, and then this year down to 27. He is an RFA. He has said he doesn't want to stay in Ottawa. Like I said, he's only 25 years old.
Yep.
Penguins were on that six-team list. If you're going to list any six teams in the National Hockey League that probably have a shot at Alex DeBrincat, I would rate the Penguins seventh. You know, especially if you look at some of the other teams that were in the market for him that they put out there. They put the Rangers, the Blues, the Hurricanes, the Panthers, and the Red Wings, who were probably the favorite of the bunch, quite honestly, with him being a lifelong Red Wings fan and from Michigan. I just don't see the Penguins having the cachet to trade for the rights to DeBrincat, as was floated out there as a prospect by the Daily Faceoff.
I think the only way that it's a guy that I kind of had penciled with a pencil circled as someone that Kyle Dubas may be interested in, simply because he is his kind of player. He's not the best two-way guy, but he is an offensive dynamo. He scored big points. Maybe would be semi-interested in coming here, considering he played his junior hockey just, you know, up the highway in Erie. He was With the Otters up there playing with Dylan Strome at the time when they were both there. And so I think if you did that and you were going to put some kind of package together to trade for rights, and this is a shock move. I was throwing this around one day and I go, well, maybe you start to fear the Brian Rust contract and you have a young team like Ottawa that wants to get a winner in there. Maybe they would consider taking Brian Rust and that contract and some sort of
Lightning. Would the Lightning take him just so he can stop scoring big goals against him?
That's a possibility too, Tim. And if you did that, it still works out because you can move that money off. But I just thought, you know, Ottawa could be like a destination for someone like Brian Rust. You could bring in like an Alex DeBrincat and have Sid, Jake, Gino DeBrincat or something. Then again, on the flip side, I just saw
Raquel, by the way, was one of the names that was dangled as a return piece.
Interesting. So, like,
you're
for me,
that money then.
And I'm almost like for like I left him out of my consideration when we're throwing roster names around. I mean, I just think he endeared himself to the team in such a way with the goals he was scoring and the year that he had. He kind of got back to normal. And that's one tidbit that I actually got from. I told you some weird tidbits that we got from Brian Burke last year during our radio summit, where he first said that they re-signed Kasperi Kapanen in part because he had a new girlfriend, which is very weird thinking back to that, because he doesn't hang out as much anymore. He's going to be staying home with his new girlfriend. Okay. But
yeah, because those things are usually ironclad with young hockey players.
Definitely ironclad. But the other tidbit he gave us that day was Rickard Rakow. He said his dip in productivity prior to coming to the Penguins was that he and his family decided they were going to be vegan. And he went down that road and he said, our training staff and everything, we got him back on meat. And suddenly his performance went up. And so, you know, Burke was like, he's eating meat again and he's back. So whether that's the reason or not, he turned himself around here. So it would be worth considering that. So I would think either of those players, I mean, I just thought of Russ because he's a little bit older than almost the other, you know, any of the other forwards they would be dangling. It would free up the $6 million-ish dollars. And then you have that money to potentially sign a long-term deal with an Alex DeBrincat, who might just be more productive for more years than a Brian Rust would be at this point. And I'm only thinking this way because of the dip in productivity that Rust had this past season.
When it comes to the draft, Mets, a name that I've seen linked with the Penguins on an occasion or two is Axel Sandin Palicka, who is a Swedish defenseman, I believe.
Yeah.
And he has obviously the name that you and I will be rooting for. We want Axel to be on the Penguins, no doubt about it, especially in advance of the Guns N' Roses concert coming to PNC Park this summer. But it's funny, the comp that I see, like, you know, if you forecast this player, what's his high-end comp? It's Chris Letang. So I think people would love him and hate him all at the same time from the minute he's drafted on then, if that's the case.
Yeah, Corey Pronman, who does a lot of work with prospects, has said that, you know, they say that in terms of pure offense, he has the most offensive skill of anybody in this draft. And they think that a ceiling for him could be that type of player. He is from Skellefteå, Tim, and Skellefteå is that's where he's playing now. And if I'm not mistaken, they've had a couple Swedes from Skellefteå before. That's where Oscar Sundqvist came from, who was used to trade for Ryan Reeves and has become a semi-regular player in the league these days. But you could do a lot worse than that kind of player. I think it fits the Penguins' style. He's a puck mover. They say he can score some goals, the 40-point-plus potential in the NHL whenever he would get himself to that level. So I'd be impressed by that. I have been hearing, though, the more and more that we talk about the way people are looking at this draft, they're saying that there's only a couple, maybe one to two, maybe three defensemen that could leap all of the forwards to be selected in the first round, because it's that deep a draft and people will just wait on defensemen. There's a lot of really talented forwards there, and there's always a chance, and this is a huge chance, I doubt it'll happen. You have that David Reinbacher, who's playing in Switzerland, who is the top-rated defenseman in this draft. If people are viewing defensemen like that and the Penguins feel they need it, if he would slip to 14, he's rated the 7th-ish prospect according to the Pronman list I was looking at, maybe that's someone you consider too, just because you could kind of build that back end a little bit. Because back in the old Ray Shiro days, that's kind of how they built the team. I mean, they started with a goalie, they started with some defensemen, and then of course you had two big cherries in Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, which changed everything. But they started from the back end out.
Lastly, Mets, as it relates to team building, I had Craig Patrick on the Mark Madden show when I filled in for Mark last week. And I asked him, do teams still look for skill as much as they used to? Or with teams like the Knights winning with depth and a lot of size and toughness, is the league going in that direction? And he insisted up one end and down the other that it's still all about skill and that general managers and front offices want skill. Is he right or not?
I would say this, and it doesn't necessarily answer the question, Tim, but the Knights took getting a Jack Eichel potentially to get over the hump in a way, because they never had that true number one type center. And once they added that, it made their team depth so much better. And they then still had scoring on all lines. So there's still skill there. I mean, Mark Stone's a very skilled player, albeit a tough one. He can get out there and get physical and get to the front of the net. So maybe it's more a skill with a tinge of toughness, because the Tkachuk types are thriving, guys that aren't afraid to go to the net, guys that can play physically, who can also score 40 type goals a season or 40-ish goals a season. So maybe that's the thing. But as far as that comment, I think that you still need a mobile, active defense that can defend, first of all, but they can jump into the play, shoot the puck, and help create offense with those tips and deflections in front of the net, and then have bodies not shy about getting there. So you probably just still need a good mix. But I would think that tells me that the Knights needed that little injection of skill at the top end of their lineup to get a Jack Eichel, who was over a point a game in the playoffs, to help get them over the hump and finally win that Stanley Cup.
Mets, thanks so much for this. It's been great catching up with you again all year. We'll do it again in the fall. Can't wait to start talking about hockey with the new look Penguins. How much they change, we'll find out. But we'll keep tabs on each other during the summer, maybe check in here and there. But definitely look forward to getting back on a weekly basis once the season starts again.
Yeah, keep me posted. It's always, as it always is, year in and year out. We've been doing this for quite a while, Tim. It's a blast every week when we come together and have our little chat about everything hockey and everything else that we have going on. And we'll see what the Penguins do. If it's something at the draft or free agency, we can always reconvene for a quickie. But if not, looking forward to the fall as well. And maybe we'll even take in a show before the summer's out.
I'll see you at the fantasy football draft on the deck, too.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That'll be in late August, so I wouldn't miss it for the world. And I promise, well, I can't promise. Let's hope there's not a show that screws me up this year, because drafting from Stage AE on the phone gave me a just a crap lineup, and I don't want to do that again.
Ryan Metzer, Pittsburgh Penguins Radio Network.